We turn in the scriptures to Isaiah chapter 4. Let you lay your hearts at the throne of grace and seek the face of the Lord. Our gracious, our loving Father, we continue on before thee in our Saviour's name. We thank thee for the opportunity again of calling for thy help in the midst of our meeting. We ask thee that thou wouldst draw near and help us in the proclamation of thy truth. We know, Lord, that we need the Holy Spirit to come and anoint us. And we pray for that anointing, for that power, for that unction to be our portion as we come to make known thy word today. Bless now as we open up the scriptures, for it's in Jesus' precious name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. I want to take the wee phrase at the end of verse 4 as my text today. Just those last four words where it speaks of the Spirit of burning. The Holy Spirit is pictured in many ways in the Scriptures. He is the third person of the Godhead, one whom we must worship. But in order to portray His work and who He is, His personality, the Scriptures give us a number of pictures in order to illustrate who He is and what He is. For example, one of the very common ways in the Bible is to picture the Holy Spirit as a breath or as a wind. Indeed, the word in the Greek and the word in the Hebrew for Spirit is also the word for wind or breath. You think of how Job says in Job 33, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." And you think of how at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, He was likened to a mighty rushing wind. And the thought behind the wind or the breath is that the Holy Spirit, like the wind, is moving, but cannot be seen. And thank God the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts and moves among us. Though He cannot be seen physically, yet His work is being done all the same amongst us. So it's very common in the Scriptures to picture the Holy Spirit as a wind or a breath. Another picture we have in the Gospels is of the Holy Spirit as a dove. You remember the time when our Lord Jesus came to John the Baptist and was baptized in Jordan. And we read there that the Holy Spirit descended on him and it was like a dove. You remember the voice of God that came and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And you notice there that you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three persons of the Godhead are working together. But do you see there how that the Holy Spirit is pictured as a dove? Another picture is the picture of the Comforter. And the word Comforter is a word that means one who draws alongside to help us. Remember how the Lord Jesus said, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me." And the literal force of that He is someone who draws alongside us to help us, to sympathize with us, to put His loving arms around us. That's a wonderful picture of the Holy Spirit as well. And then there's this picture that we want to focus upon today. That's the picture of fire. How often in the Bible is the Holy Spirit pictured by fire? Again, we think of the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended on the disciples. And in Acts 2, verses 2 and 3, it says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." So here the Holy Spirit is likened to cloven tongues like fire. Remember how the Lord, in Matthew 3, verse 11, John the Baptist said that the Lord Jesus he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And you'll notice again how the Scripture here in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 4, calls the Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of burning. And I thought that was very interesting because we need the Holy Spirit's fire today. We need the burning of God. I understand that when revival has taken place in the highlands and islands of Scotland, that many have described that as a burning among the heather. And don't we need a burning among the heather today? Don't we need the fires of God to burn afresh and be rekindled among us? And I thought that it would be interesting today just to look at this title of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Burning, and see what it means to our hearts and see what it is to our souls today. For men and women, we need the Holy Spirit of Burning to come in our midst and power today. The first thing I want you to see then, as we look at the Holy Spirit of Burning, is that this burning penetrates. You see, when fire burns, it penetrates through things. I remember when we went into the church in Corrigarry, when it had been burned, and you looked at everything, you could see the walls, the block walls had been buckled and cracked, and you could see the steelwork, and it had been bent and twisted. And you, when you go in and you see the awful power of fire, it's amazing. When you see what it can do, strong men would take machinery to bend the great iron girders or to knock down those walls. But fire, by its heat and by its power, can get beyond the barriers and break through into things. And we thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit of God that penetrates. You think of the medieval besiegers, and they used great fireballs at times to knock down the walls and get in and break down the gates in order to get beyond the barriers. And I'm glad that the Holy Spirit of God is one who can disintegrate the barriers and knock down every hindrance that there is to the Lord coming and taking control of your life and using you to His own power and to His glory. You think of the iron bar. When the fire comes, sometimes you can even see the fire in the very iron itself. It glows red hot, for the fire penetrates. I'm praying the fire of God may penetrate into our lives and into our souls today, that He might get beyond every barrier that there is. For man loves and always is erecting barriers against the Lord. Some of you here are not saved, and that is the thing that you've been doing. You've been erecting barriers in your life against God. And God, the Holy Spirit, has come and has knocked down the barriers. But every time He knocks another one down, you have another one set up. You don't want God to have anything to do with your life or to take control of your life. And every time the preacher preaches, there is some other rationalization. You have a rationalizing spirit that seeks to explain away what the preacher says or what the Word of God claims, puts its claim upon you. And there are barriers after barriers. But I'm glad that the Holy Spirit can get behind the barrier. That's what we're praying for you, dear sinner, today. That God will get through. I remember a number of years ago, we had a number of young people, a big group of young people, over in Edinburgh. And we had them in the Faith Mission Bible College. And we were staying there. And they were all over the place staying. And I remember the last meeting that we had. We had an evening meeting. And the Word of God was preached, and we sung the choruses that we had, and everybody went away. And about maybe 15, 20 minutes after the meeting, I remember going out into the corridor and walking down the corridor. And down the corridor, there were young people weeping. Now, I'm not just talking about one. I'm talking about maybe about 30, 40 young people weeping. Why? Because God had got through. Because God had broken down the barriers. The meeting was over. It had all gone away. But the Holy Spirit had got through and broken down. It penetrated. He had penetrated. And that's what God can do. But not only do the unsaved people put up barriers against the things of God. Sometimes God's people put up barriers to hinder the purposes of God in their life. You think of Moses, when God came to him and spoke to him about leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses put up all sorts of excuses. He said, I'm not eloquent. I can't do this. And then when God said, I'll be your words and your mouth, He said, but the people will not listen to me. I have no authority. And he put up excuse after excuse after excuse. Remember Jonah? When God told him to go to Nineveh and preach to the people that were in Nineveh, Jonah got on his road and he went the opposite direction and tried to get as far away as he could from the will and purposes of God. Now I wonder if there's one here today and you're running from God. Running from what God wants you to do. God has told you to do something. It is clear in God's word what he wants you to do. But you're sailing like Jonah away as fast as you can get. You've been putting up barriers against the claims of the Lord in your life. Remember what we're told of? The Lord Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will reprove the world of righteousness and of judgment. And one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to get behind the barriers. And how he needs to get behind the barrier in your life and mine, doesn't he? He needs to get in there and break down those things that we are holding on to. To just get in and get hold of us and give us a good shaking. We need the Holy Spirit of God to penetrate. But then not only does this fire or this burning penetrate, but this burning purifies. If you were to turn over just a couple of chapters, if you look at Isaiah chapter 1 verse 25, you'll see there how it says that I will purely purge away thy dross, he says at the end of it. I will turn my hand unto thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. And that's what he says here. The Holy Spirit comes to purify. You know, if I had a gold coin here and it was covered in grit and mire and dirt, I could take soap and water and I could scrub that gold coin and try and get it all clean again. If it was only surface dirt, I'd have a good effect at that. It would take a lot of the dirt off. But what if the dirt was ingrained? Well, the only way to get the dirt out of that gold coin then, or that gold, would be to put it in the fire. That's the only way to get away the dross. And God says here, I will purely purge away thy dross. And this is the purifying fire of God. Doesn't God need to come and purify the dross in our lives, the sins? He needs to purify the way the unworthy standards. We have low standards. We are just content. There are many of God's people today, and we're just content to get by in the Christian life. And we do the minimum, and we look to other people, and as long as we're not too bad in comparison to other Christians, that's all we want. And we go along on Sunday, maybe read our Bibles, and we go along and do these things, but our walk and all that we do is not permeated by the Lord and by the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Spirit to come and purify us. There are low standards today. Our standard of life is so very different from what God wants us to be and the blessing that he holds for us in our lives. I wonder if you've got a low standard. Well, the Spirit of purifying needs to purify all the unworthy standards that we have. Oh, we need to heighten our standards. We need to stand for the things of God. We need to be those who are seeking to do what God wants us to do in our lives. Unworthy standards. And then we need to be purified of unworthy motives. You know, we can do things out of self-seeking. We can do things out of pride. You think of the apostles at the time of the Lord's Supper. And they were quarreling among one another about who was the greatest. And you think of how James and John, they were wondering, and their mother came to the Lord and said that she wanted them to be at the Lord's right hand in the kingdom. Peter maybe would have said, well, I have a right to be the first and the foremost. And they were so intent in arguing about who was the greatest that none of them would wash one another's feet. And then we read how the Lord got down and washed their feet. They were full of self. But what happened when the Holy Spirit of God fell at Pentecost? It was different. We read that after the the Holy Spirit of God came, they went out not thinking of themselves. It wasn't self that was preeminent, it was Christ. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, before this, they were afraid and they were fearful for their lives and they were hiding. All self was all that they thought about. But after the Holy Spirit came, they went out and preached the gospel. It didn't matter who they were going to preach to. You think of how they faced the very Sanhedrin that had put the Lord Jesus to death. And they said, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we be this day examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." And they weren't afraid to accuse that Sanhedrin of putting the Lord Jesus to death. What had happened? What had made the difference? Was the Holy Spirit come into their lives. And we need to be cleansed of every unworthy motive. The cowardice needs to be taken away. The fearfulness needs to be taken away. And we need to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is there the dross of unworthy standards and unworthy motives, but there's a dross of unworthy qualities. Things like jealousy and anger and vanity and uncleanness of every kind. Those things need to be dealt with. You know, in the book of Malachi, we're told in Malachi chapter 3, I think it is, he was set as a purifier and refiner of silver. Why does it say that he will sit? Well, it is because in those days that the refiners couldn't leave the process. Because it was that delicate a process that if they left it for a moment, it could turn out wrong. So they had to sit and watch. And maybe today the Lord is sitting beside you as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He's sitting right by your side. And he's refining you. You remember what Job said? "When he hath tried me, I will come forth as gold." Now I don't know what the Lord will have to do to transform you. I don't know what the Lord will have to do in order to purify you in your life. But today he's sitting. Maybe it will mean trouble. Maybe it will mean all sorts of hard circumstances that you'll have to face. But the Lord needs to come and purify you. He'll put you through the fire. He'll put you through the hard circumstances. But he does that in order that you might come forth as pure gold. So the Holy Spirit of burning, he does that to penetrate. He burns also to purify. But then he burns in the pattern. If you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, it says there in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, "And we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now here it speaks of the Holy Spirit burning in, as it were, or changing us into the image of God. And you see here how he burns in the pattern. And the more we are in contact with the flame of God, the burning Holy Spirit of God, the more the Lord's image will be stamped in our hearts and in our face and in all our visage and all that we are. You think of the cold steel. And this cold steel, the iron bar, it's grey and ugly and there's nothing attractive about it. But you put that iron bar in the fire, and first of all it begins to glow red. There's a dull red, and then it becomes a brighter red. And then it begins to glow with the flame, and you can see it. And there's a beauty about that iron bar that glows with the fire that's in it. And so it is with those that are near the Spirit of burning and have the Spirit of burning dwelling in their hearts, and who are filled with that Holy Spirit of burning, there's a glow about them. The more we are filled with the Holy Spirit and draw near to God, there's a burning, shining light in their lives. We're like John the Baptist, who was as a burning, shining light in his day. And we need people who are in fire. We need preachers who are in fire. What cold individuals we preachers can be at times. And you know, we can preach the word and we can dot the theological I's and cross the theological T's, and we can have a good meeting and people could go away and they could say that what a good message that was, or what a good preacher that was. But my, we want you to go away in tears and melting of heart, and we want you to look to the Lord that we preach. It's not the preacher that we want you to see. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You need that. I need that. You need it in the holy, or in the Sunday school, in the children's meetings. There are plenty of materials. We can get the materials together. But we need the spirit of burning. We need it when other people look at us, to know that there is a power there that the Holy Spirit is speaking. You know, when they used to put vessels into the fire to put the pattern in them, it was a permanent pattern. You know, you could get a wee vase and you could paint something on it, but eventually that would wear off. But you know, if you've got the vase and you put it into the kiln with the pattern imprinted on it, that becomes permanent. It becomes part of the thing. And we need God's image imprinted upon us. Something that is permanent. Hymn writer said, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. That all his marvelous passion and purity, O Spirit divine, all my nature refine, until the beauty of Jesus be seen in me." There needs to be a burning in of the pattern of Christ. But then something else the spirit of burning does. He produces light. You know, when a fire burns, it produces light. And he gives light to direct us. The Holy Spirit directs us day by day. In Acts chapter 8 and 29, we read how the Holy Spirit directed Philip. He said, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And then in Acts 13 verse 2, it says, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So the Holy Spirit separated Barnabas and Paul, or Saul, to that work. So the Holy Spirit can direct and guide us. And he does that primarily through his word. And he enlightens this word. See, this word to unsaved people is darkness. They can't understand it. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, it becomes a new book. As Dr. Pacey used to say, and says, the New Testament becomes a newer testament, and the Old Testament becomes a new testament, and you understand things that you've never seen before. And you know, when the Word of God becomes light to you, you're able to go out and shed that light to others. We become lights. You know, the story is told a number of years ago about a lighthouse in the Florida coast, just off the Florida coast, and there was a great storm that blew. And so fierce was the storm that it put out one of the lamps in the lighthouse. It caught the power, was able to put out the light in some way and break the glass. And the man, the lighthouse keeper, didn't know what to do. He had no glass to replace the light. And the only thing that he had was a sheet of old tin. So he got the sheet of tin and he put it up to secure the place. And later on that night, there was a ship sailing by, and of course, they knew that there was a lighthouse there, but they were just at a certain angle where they were just opposite where the tin was, the dark place. They couldn't see the lighthouse. And because they couldn't see the lighthouse, they thought they were further away from the coast than they were, and that ship foundered. Why did it founder? Because there was a dark place. And you know, child of God, sometimes there are dark places in our lives. There are places and there are aspects of our lives where the fire and the burning and the light of God do not shine out. And we need to make sure that as we are going about day by day, that our lights so shine before men. What did the Lord Jesus say in Luke chapter 11 verse 36? He said, "If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light." Is there some part dark? Is there some part of your life that is dark today? It's not showing forth the Lord. Instead of directing people aright, it's directing people wrong, that part of your life. No, the Holy Spirit of God is there to give us light. And it's light to direct. But it's also light to display. Because the Holy Spirit always displays the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said in John 16 and verse 14 that when the Holy Spirit would come, He said, He shall glorify Me. And when the Holy Spirit is in the lives of men and women, when that Holy Spirit of burning is glowing in our hearts, we'll speak much of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how much of your conversation is about the Lord Jesus Christ. How much do you speak to others about your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe there's not that spirit of burning in you at all. Maybe He's not burning as brightly as He ought to burn, because when He burns, He will glorify Christ, and you'll speak much of the Lord Jesus Christ. He produces light, light that will shine out to others round about. So it's a burning that produces light. One more thing. It is burning that propels. You see, when you have a burning in an engine, it's usually there to produce energy. You have the old steam engines, and they had the burning in the boiler so it would produce the steam to make the engine go. And even today, where power comes from, you have the power stations, and a lot of them will burn oil or gas or sometimes coal or other things in order to produce the energy. And still much of the energy that we have today still comes from burning. Sometimes windmills today and things like that, and they have alternative sources. But a lot of the energy that we have, even still today, comes from burning. And the spirit of burning is what will produce energy for us. You think of the disciples again. Before Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit of God came and filled their lives, what were they like? They could do nothing. They fled. They fled away from the work. They fled away from the Savior. They didn't want to do it. They were in that upper room after the resurrection, and they were fearful, and they could do nothing. But what happened when the Holy Spirit came? They were out there. They were preaching. The whole Sanhedrin came against them and told them not to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they couldn't stop speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was in their hearts and in their lives. The Bible says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You say, how can I have this Holy Spirit of burning? Ask Him. Ask Him. You say, who is it for? Everyone that is saved. You can have this power today. You can have the blessed power of the Holy Spirit. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now this is not something for the people that are the head of the church, or the people that are in the pulpit, or the people that are in the mission field. He shall baptize you. And He was speaking to the whole disciples there. And we need that power to go out. You say, I'm not worthy. Who is worthy? Who is worthy? Were the disciples worthy that had fled from Him, denied Him? You think of Peter, who denied Him and turned his back upon Him. Was he worthy? Oh, don't come today and make excuses. We need the Holy Spirit of burning. How will we get it? By asking. We need to get down on our knees in prayer, and we need to seek for that power. We need it today. You know the missionary, Henry Martin, when he was leaving for India, he said that he was going to India to burn out for God. In other words, he was willing to lay down his life. He was willing to give every energy that he had in order to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if you're willing for that. Oh, we need the spirit of burning to come. And we need to go out today and preach the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the spirit of burning. Oh, may He burn in our hearts today. If you're His child, may He burn in your soul. May we see the fire. Upon my soul, may He send the fire today. Do you want the fire? Do you want the fire? Do you want God to burn in your heart? Have I been speaking to you and already you've been putting up the barriers and this is nothing for me? It's just the preacher preaching. It's just another message. Is it just another message? Or is it something that you can have? Is this something real? It is real. It is real. These disciples in the day of Pentecost were no different from you and me, but what they did was amazing. How? By the Holy Spirit of burning in their hearts. We need that. And those of you that are not saved, you've been putting up the barriers today. But God can come. And I pray that He'll come, just as He came in Edinburgh those number of years ago. And when He broke through. And at the end of this meeting, that God will break you. God will break you. The meeting might be over. It might have long passed. It wasn't some emotionalism, you know, that day. Because the meeting was over. We had concluded the meeting. Everybody had gone to their rooms, getting ready for supper. I remember one young fellow just standing at the dining room and the tears flowing down his cheeks. That's what God can do. That's what happens when God breaks through. Oh, may God come with the Holy Spirit of burning today and break into your heart. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Our gracious God and our Father, we thank Thee for the opportunity of coming to Thee. O God, we thank Thee for the Holy Spirit of burning who comes, penetrates through the heart, purifies the heart, paints the pattern of Christ in the heart. We thank Thee, Lord, today that He is able to give power to send us forward. And we pray, gracious God, that there might be that empowering of us today as the Spirit of burning burns in our hearts. Write Thy word upon our souls now. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen.